Hey everybody, Ed Carbohall here with Matthew Hawkins, Coast to Coast Combat Hour. After the long Memorial Day weekend, brought to you by AllAccessMMA.com. Please check out AllAccessMMA.com for your mixed martial arts news and all the breaking nonsense that's happening these days. before we get going, just really quick, I spoke with Justin Wetzel, who is the co-main event for LFA 109 this weekend. That audio interview will be on the audio portion of this podcast following Matt and I's catch up. So make sure you check it out. He's facing Askar Askar at LFA 109. That's this Friday on UFC Fight Pass. Matt, I know we just kind of caught up, but I mean, it looks like the craziness doesn't end with everything going on in the news, man. We were off last week with the holiday and all the other nonsense going on outside of this podcast, but what's up, man? How you been?
Good. Yeah, it's been a slow, you know, we didn't have any major fights this past weekend, so we didn't really have a reason to push any kind of show last week, and like some other stuff going on, as you said. Feels good to get through the Memorial Day weekend, kind of recharge our batteries. There is a UFC card this weekend, but again, it's ESPN Plus. Nothing crazy, but there has been some stuff starting to pop up in the last couple of days to talk about. You know, the first thing that, you know, we generally kind of don't like to talk about, but I feel like we're in a place now with who's getting involved in it that we don't really have much of a choice, and that is the Paul brothers nonsense going on where they're taking fights all over the place. So I guess the first thing to start off is Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather is supposed to take place this Saturday night in I believe it's in Miami. I know it's in Florida.
Is it Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday night. You are correct. I forgot. It is this Sunday night. I believe it starts at like 5 o'clock my time, but I could be off on the time. It's not something I've looked deep into. Keep in mind, this is Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather. So Floyd Mayweather, the undefeated former all-time great boxing champion. Logan Paul's 0-1. I'm not even going to mention the guy he lost to in his only other exhibition fight. So although he has a lot of size on Mayweather, I feel like this is just, you know, if anybody's going to put an end to this nonsense, don't we kind of need Mayweather to do it right now? I mean, I know not a lot of us guys are not huge Mayweather fans, but if anybody could do it, Tim, he kind of did it with Tenshin. Right.
Yeah.
Like we kind of all fell into the Tenshin love, and the guy's still a beast in kickboxing, but he kind of shut us up or, you know, not that I thought Tenshin would beat him, but he kind of shut up.
The boxer should always win. I mean, even within the case of Askren versus Jake Paul, Jake Paul was still the more, I mean, seasoned boxer, especially against someone like Askren, who is doing spinning shit against Damian Maya. So, I mean, the thing about these freak show matchups or whatever you want to call them, well, Scott Coker came up with a good sportainment, he calls it, or sports entertainment. He kind of merged the word together. But that's just what it is. And I mean, you're always going to, it's the seasoned boxer that's always going to come out on top of this, no matter what happens. You know what I mean? Even in the one that went under the radar between Frank Mir and Sean Cunningham, like that was still, you know, the seasoned boxer outscoring the MMA fighter with some boxing experience. That's all that's going to happen over and over again. And this is going to be the one where Mayweather kind of just says, hey, you know, wakes everybody up and says, what did you think was going to happen? I'm the greatest boxer of this generation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I completely think that Mayweather, unless he just decides that he's basically going to stand around for a couple rounds, I think he can finish this probably within the first minute, 2 minutes of the fight, if it's something that he wants to do.
It's 8 p.m. Eastern on Sunday.
That's right. So 5 o'clock my time, West Coast, 8 p.m. Eastern. You know, so that's this fight. There's not really a whole lot to talk about. We don't know much about this Paul brother. Like I said, he lost his first fight he had, and Mayweather really should. This shouldn't be any question. The announcement that was made, what was it, late last night, maybe early this morning, depending on what feed you look at, is Jake Paul, the other brother, who's actually showed some skills. Now, he did fight Nate Robinson, and he fought Ben Askren, as you mentioned. So he didn't exactly fight, you know, he didn't fight anybody, but he did beat Ben Askren.
Yeah.
You know, and he beat a professional fighter. I guess I would put to question, are you going into that fight, I think we were kind of, we didn't really know what to expect. I actually thought Asker would do much better than he did, and he didn't really have to do much. He could have danced around for 45 seconds and would have done better than he did. But do you feel like Woodley's going to fall into that same boat? I got to feel like Woodley's a step up from Askren, right? I mean, I know he is.
Yeah.
You know, so you say the seasoned boxer. I feel like we're going to get to some kind of with Mayweather. He's clearly the seasoned boxer over the Paul he's brother he's fighting. But I feel like we're going to at some point we're going to have to hit a break even point with this Jake Paul. Like he's got some boxing skills. He's got some punching power. We've seen that. But even as he fights better MMA guys, it seems to me like at some point here, we got to get a break even point where he's going to get hit. Now, whether Woodley can knock him out, I don't know anymore. You know, I don't know where Woodley's at in his brain and his, but I do know that he probably has a little bit more of a, I don't know what's the word. Let's put it this way. I don't think Askren gave a crap that he lost.
Mm-hmm.
I think Woodley doesn't want that on his record. No matter how much money Woodley's getting paid, I think he's way too prideful. Publicly, Askren kind of jokes about being knocked out and doesn't really care as long as the paychecks are coming in. I feel like Woodley's going to take this a lot more seriously and in that sense, at least really push Jake Paul for this to actually be a competitive fight or slanted towards Woodley is how I see it.
I see it the same way. And I also think one thing we have to, people like knocking Woodley because of the string of losses and whatever's happened towards the end of his UFC run. But the thing you got to remember about Woodley is in his last fight, I, for one, was very critical of how he fought leading up to that last fight. Not that last fight, because that last fight, he kind of put it out there to let folks know that he's not just kind of trying to coast. He went for it. He lost, but he still tried. So as far as where his mind is at, I agree with you. I think he's there, and he's definitely got the power to drop this kid. I think with the connections he has and the people he can train with, I think he can put something together to beat this kid, and maybe him and Mayweather finally, put an end to this. But I don't think we'll ever see an end to it. But maybe if enough like true combat sports athletes beat these attention getters, maybe 2-3 events, we'll see it, fall off. I don't know where Triller's getting money from, but it looks like Triller's already, getting ready for that bite because they got the rights to the Teofimo Lopez. That's a true boxing match coming up. So I'm just wondering if that's all. Luke Lopez, that's a loyal listener of the Sunday submission too. Sorry about that, Luke, but what's up, Luke? But I feel like we need a couple of those things to happen. We need Mayweather to win and we need Woodley to win to kind of put an end to, even Kayla Harrison's getting pissed off when she's winning fights at PFL talking about YouTubers coming into the mix and kind of just making a show out of it. And I get where they're coming from too, because these people are making it like a funny, jokey, prankish viral video type of thing. Whereas these combat sports athletes train their whole lives and put their, their physical, mental, their health on the line and all for the glory of combat and to make it their career. And it's like, these guys are, I don't think they mean to make a joke of it. I'm sure they respect it too in some way, but just the way they go about it is.
Well, I think it's the personalities of the guys doing it. I mean, if this was you, or let's say James Lynch or some guy, decides that all of a sudden he's going to do it and he takes it up and he's humble about it and stuff like that. I think the public would have a much different, perception of it. We just got guys who I don't know what they did before. I don't know what made them popular. So I don't know if they were assholes online. I don't know if they hung around with My Little Pony doll. I don't know what the hell they did,
Yeah.
But I also think that they're we know fight fans are fickle, right? So we have great fighters, the greatest of the greats lose a fight, and all of a sudden they're washed up or they're bums or they were never that good. We've all been through that. So I can only imagine what his little teeny bopper YouTube community that follows him is going to think if he gets laid out and humiliated. You know, they'll be the first ones to turn on him. So I'd be interested to see if after he takes a devastating loss, what happens because of one of these guys. You know, is it something? Do they do enough online to be able to continue to have a following, even if they, even if he's, you know, humiliated? So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, I guess they can always fall back on the, well, I shouldn't have won that fight. I'm fighting Tyron Woodley, you know, and stuff like that. But I don't know. I'm interested in it in a sense that I kind of want to see these guys get beat up now. and like I said, the brother fighting Mayweather this week, I don't have any, I think that's a complete joke. If you can't beat another YouTuber in your fight, then you shouldn't be fighting Mayweather. The other dude's at least won his fights. So I'm also not going to be, I'm the last one to criticize somebody who straps on the gloves and actually steps into a ring. I think there needs to be a level of respect for that, no matter what level of douchebag or no matter what level of clown show that's going on. You're still, I mean, I wouldn't be looking forward to putting gloves on and stepping in a ring with Woodley. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, there is a level of respect that I think that demands, but unfortunately their actions outside the ring and some of their other stuff kind of makes it hard to want to give that respect just because you see what you're dealing with. But I think that kind of wraps up that topic, hopefully.
I do have a couple of, like, I don't know if they're questions or concerns, like with the, as soon as I saw the Woodley announcement, one of the things I was worried about was you know, knowing how Woodley fights, and especially even if he's just limited to using his hands for the boxing rules, I'm wondering, are they going to use a small ring? Because I don't think that favors Woodley because of the way we know he fights. You know, he likes to, even when he knocked people out, he liked to draw people into a big thunderous right hand. Mm-hmm. So if they do a small ring, that's going to affect, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder how deep are they going to go with, you know, to not so much even the playing field. Because again, in that particular matchup, that Paul is the seasoned boxer. I guess, you know, on paper, but you know what I mean? You have to wonder what games are they going to play to make it favor it so they can do it again. I mean, especially under the rules. I mean, I remember Chael Sonnen had, leading up to the McGregor Mayweather bout, Chael Sonnen had his striking coach on, who I forget, really good guy. I talked to him a couple times. I can't believe I'm forgetting his name, but his striking coach, he had him on his podcast, and he said how there's, people were making a thing about the weight of the gloves, and he said that's not really that big a deal. I mean, you and I both know these guys train with 16, 20 ounce gloves anyway when they're in the training room, but he said something about the thickness of the ring floor, because it actually makes footwork better or worse depending on how thick or thin it is, and things like that I didn't know. So, but he said those are the games that these people play depending on who's the A side and who's the B side, and you know what I mean? So Woodley seems like the type of guy that doesn't give a shit about any of that. Like, he'll try to finish him however, no matter if they put him in a, you know, in with their 2 foot in a tire, you know what I mean? That old school, nobody move anywhere type of thing. But I'm just, those are the questions that come up in my mind. And the announcement literally just came out today. So I'm sure these details will come out and it'll be a part of some marketing ploy or whatever to get people hyped up for it. But I mean, it looks like we don't have to worry about it till August, but I just wanted to put it out there now so that people, you know, can at least start trying to dabble and think about it, or maybe get some information, because
matters. They're going to do that. They're going to do that for sure. Because Jake Paul's going to control the money coming along.
Speaking of Paul, see me back now.
What's up, Paul? Welcome back to the show. Appreciate you listening. But yeah, so I think they're going to do that. I and it would be smart for him to do that, because I think I think you're right. I think a bigger ring would favor Woodley. It would allow him a chance to kind of gas out the inexperienced fighter and eventually land a bigger shot. But I don't know. I don't know what to expect in these things anymore.
No,
you know, I don't know. But so that was that. We're just gonna go through some bullet points here. Props to Jimmy Smith. Congratulations to Jimmy Smith for picking up the gig with the WWE. He is now the head commentator for Monday Night Raw. Had his first show last night. Didn't catch the whole thing. Watched about an hour of it, and he seemed to to be taken to it pretty well.
I did. I'm an AEW guy, so
yeah,
I watched it to hear him, to hear his voice, because I like Jimmy Smith. I listened to about 15 minutes, but then like watching that product, I can't get into it because I watch real wrestling on AEW. So
yeah, no, but mad props to him. A huge, hopefully he sticks with it, and he gets a company behind him here that he hasn't seemed to have in the last couple years. So
well, he still has his gig at Sirius, though. He tweeted out that he's not dropping that.
Correct. They, I'm not speaking of them so much. I'm talking about more the UFC in general. UFC hung his ass out to dry, and I'm glad to see him rebound now and actually get something that's probably going to get him more eyes, more viewers, and more money than he would have ever made in the UFC. So that's great for Jimmy Smith, one of the great people in the combat world. So again, congratulations, Jimmy Smith.
I hope Paul just chimed in. He hopes Tyron represents MMA well, but I hope he shows up to fight and not just to get paid. We actually just talked about that. CB Dacas.
One thing on that though, I am interested to see what he looks like, not necessarily cutting weight. Because I would think that he's going to get a chance. I mean, if he fights 170, he's walking around 205, 210, I would imagine. So, you know, a 200-pound Woodley that's fully hydrated might be something to watch. So that'll be something we'll obviously talk about when we get into more towards
closer it. Towards it, yeah. But one thing, too, I mean, just because we backtrack to that a little bit, the other thing I wanted to say, too, is I can't remember who said it, but CD Baca. I keep doing that every time. I mean, he jumped on my Twitch channel one time and went through a whole thing with me on how to say it right, and I still fuck it up. But anyway, the one thing I want to say is I can't remember who said it, but somebody remarked about the way that Jake Paul in particular prepares. I mean, because the thing is, these kids have money, these YouTube kids, so they have money, so they can actually put the time into a boxing gym and perfect whatever, you know, corrections they have to make or get better, become better boxers. So that's one thing I think a lot of people kind of ignore, that they are putting time in. They're not just putting on gloves. This is not celebrity boxing where they're just showing up, you know, after doing 2-3 weeks and you know what I mean? Like they're actually getting ready at boxing gyms with boxing trainers. So I think that's why we're seeing improvements and better, you know, like the setups and everything. We've seen the clips of Jake Paul doing the setup with how he drew in the Nate Robinson to the right hand, and the same thing he did with Askren. So, but I think we've seen enough too that I really don't think Woodley's going to take him lightly. I think Woodley's going to take it as serious as anything else, and he knows he's got something. He's got a lot of folks behind him for this one too. So,
yep. All right, another couple announcements in the fight world I saw in the last couple days. BKFC has officially announced BKFC 18, Beltran versus Shoemaker. That'll take place.
Oh, cool.
I believe it's the 18th. Tapology hasn't updated. So Beltran Shoemaker, Hector Lombard, Joe Riggs, Luis Palomino, Tyler Goodjohn, and Tiago Alves versus Ulysses Diaz currently the main card. And I saw Pearl Gonzalez will be making her BKFC debut on that card. Also in BKFC news, they announced that BKFC 19 will be July 23rd, and that'll be headlined by Paige VanZant versus Rachel Ostovich, a rematch from their UFC. I think they fought on the Cejudo Dillashaw card. For some reason, that pops into my head. You know, BKFC, we've talked to a couple of their guys, Wheelock, Lytle. Looks like they've got some good stuff coming up. I noticed their ticket prices were a bit expensive. Mm-hmm. So I hope that I know that's a stacked card for BKFC. This is a Super Bowl BKFC, one 18 coming up. But,
I think, I feel like that's that matchup with Ostovich and, VanZant. I mean, one thing I have to say, I mean, if you recall her BKFC debut, she didn't seem to find herself until like the later rounds, and I think that just one fight gives her the upper hand over Ostovich, because it seems like especially for some the uniqueness of bare knuckle, it seems like you have to put your time in that circular, you know, that whole setup. You have to put your time in and feel your hands, you know, land punches and take some punches before you actually know what's up. I mean, we've had Beltran on here, we've had you know, like you said, we've had a few folks from BKFC on here, and I think that's one thing that seems to be a common point that they make about making the transition and why it's so unique. I mean, we saw Paul Malignaggi, you know, when he did his thing with Lobov, and the reason why Lobov did better was because if you watch when I spoke to Lobov about that, that's on this YouTube channel from way back when that happened. He even said like he was already used to training, you know, with no gloves at all. So I think Van Zandt might pull that one out.
I do too. I think she'll come out more aggressive. I think the experience, like you said, is key in this because it is its own entity as far as a sport goes. It's not nothing's the same. It's not just the typical striking and that you see in MMA or boxing. So
that's Paul's CD Baca's mentioning something that we actually haven't touched on in a minute because there is an update for the Diego Sanchez. I mean, I think it was last week when we were off is when the news broke that he and his guru or whatever his name is, Josh Fabia, parted ways. I'm glad that happened. That's all I got to say about that.
I don't even understand it. I can't even.
Good for Diego.
Yeah, I'm glad. It seemed like something's going on. I don't know a whole lot about the other guy other than the clown show that we've kind of got a giant synopsis of over the last couple of weeks. But it just sounds like the dudes, there's some real mental illness going on, maybe on more than one person in that scenario. So in this case, Diego Sanchez getting away from it seems like the best move. It would be nice to see maybe some big MMA gym or somebody try to bring him in to get him back on track mentally. Not that he needs to fight anymore. I'd love to see him just end up in Submission Underground or Eddie Bravo or whatever kind of, you know,
we got going on. Do that,
That. That's really what he should do. He should go around. He should sign autographs, have people pay him to, you know, show up and do stuff like that. But I don't know a whole lot of the situation and I don't want to get too personal because I don't know him personally. And I just, from the outside looking in, it just looked like a bad situation that was only going to get real worse. And if your employers and stuff, whether your employers are right or wrong, they're still your employers. If they're telling you this guy's a cancer, then, you know, you might need to listen to that. So we'll see how this all unfolds. And hopefully Diego gets back on his feet. Getting back to not necessarily BKFC, but to piggyback off of that, we also got the announcement that Jorge Masvidal will be starting up his own event called Game Bred Fighting Championship, and that will be Bare Knuckle MMA. It will also be shown on the BKFC app. So if you have a subscription or you subscribe for the $4 a month app, that will now include Bare Knuckle MMA. Not sure exactly what this is going to consist of. Right now, we know the main event is currently scheduled as Jason Knight versus Crazy Horse Bennett.
Not bad.
No, I mean, Bennett hasn't won in like 20 fights, but you know you're just going to get a chaos. You know what you're going to get, and that's what I think they're trying to get at the first event is not necessarily a good fight, but a something that catches the news or, you know, something like that. So it'll be interesting. I don't know. My curiosity more is it just bare knuckle MMA with unified rules? Or are we talking no holds barred, you know, Rio Heroes, you know, no holds barred stuff, you know, no rules. So I'll be curious to see how that goes, but I love it. I know you call me Just Bleed Guy as a joke, but Jesus Christ, you're giving me bare knuckle MMA now in 2021. That's about as good as it gets for me.
Is it MMA though, or is it
bare knuckle? No, it's bare knuckle MMA.
Interesting.
You know,
I wonder how that. I mean, it is in Florida.
No, it's in Biloxi, Mississippi, so even easier for them. They're holding it at the same place where BKFC, I think, holds their.
I guess
their events. Yeah. I mean, again, if they're not allowing soccer kicks, knees to the head and stuff, it's really not that big of a change. Mm. It obviously is going to be, there's going to be blood. But if you can throw headbutts and knees to the head and soccer kicks and stuff, then God only knows what Masvidal's about ready to bring the masses at this point.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
It's crazy. But that's why not? What are we talking about watching YouTube stars and everything? Why not let some guys go in there and duke it out?
It's probably why they're able to put it, you know, pull off this first show, you know, because I mean, people are so thirsty for something. And we've seen the news with all the fans running into the basketball games and all the fights at all the baseball games and stuff because of what we've all been through with COVID and everything. So maybe, like you said, maybe it's just like, hey, let's throw it all out there and see what sticks after the pandemic. So,
well, I mean, it's Jorge Masvidal's got his name behind it. So that's going to add, especially where he's at right now, that's going to add some, he's going to get credibility as opposed to just some, you know, schmo promoter, you know, showing up in Louisiana or Mississippi and deciding to pull this off. So we'll see. I don't know exactly what to expect on that. That'll obviously unfold. Brock Weaver, the kind of the guy who had some issues with some stuff outside of the cage, former UFC fighter, supposed to be the co-main event, but another guy who kind of shows some violence in the cage. So it could be a wild, wild show. What else? PFL announcement for their next, well, not for their next event, but they announced the end of the month card.
The remaining of season, yeah, the rest of the
That's, you mentioned Kyla Harrison earlier. She fights Cindy Danois in the main event. You know, Harrison, I appreciate her for what she's done kind of to get where she's at, but I kind of think it's, she's fighting kind of like the, you know, I don't want to disrespect her opponents, but at some point here, she's got to fight somebody that can give her a fight. I mean, these thousand minus a thousand every single time she fights is getting a tad ridiculous. And I don't think this fight's going to be any different. I know Danois has some ground game, but the bottom line is none of these girls that we're seeing.
I mean, she's not, she's experienced, so she's got that. But I mean, you know, the thing is, too, I think a lot of people kind of forget about, I mean, I following it in boxing, Olympic level athletes just train at a different, like people are coming at Clarissa Shields, too, who's going to be on one of these cards. And you know, she's getting a lot of flack for coming from boxing into MMA, but she's another Olympian. People forget that these Olympic level athletes, they just prepare differently than your average athlete. And I mean at the pro level, like they just take it to a whole nother. Kayla Harrison has made her her life, you know, about competition, as Clarissa Shields has. So they're just, the most dangerous thing about them is their mind. If you watch Kayla Harrison, that last interview she did when she won, I mean, I've talked to her a few times when she, you know, all the shows I covered from the 2019 season here in New York City, New Year's Eve. I mean, she's super nice, but fight night, you know, before and after, it's like talking to a possessed person. And I just think, I mean, she did do her fight at Invicta. I think we're going to see, you know, we thought we were going to see her and Kaufman on that season, but, you know, things didn't work out that way. And that's the thing about the PFL. It's literally anybody's, you know, title or money to win. So we could see an upset. I mean, listen, the undefeated, you and I both know, as long as we've been watching fight sports, nobody keeps that zero forever. So
you're right, but I bet you she carries it through the end of June. I don't see how she would lose this fight. Cindy Danois can't outstrike her on the feet. She could submit her on the ground if Harrison just went straight up, you know. I don't even know. I mean, just literally went slow motion and decided to put herself in a submission. But
I wasn't impressed with her last fight, man. I mean, that wasn't a great outing.
No, for her. I just think that fighting at 155 right now is a joke, and maybe that's the same thing people thought Cyborg was 145 10 years ago, you know. But I just, there's literally, I mean, we're talking the competition level at 155. I mean, Kaufman would have been her toughest fight, and she's a career 135er, man. You know. So it's one of those things. I think we all can see what PFL's doing here. I mean, they clearly are setting it up for Harrison. They want her to keep winning and help carry their brand as far as possible. Also on the card, Fabricio Verdun comes back, fights Sales and Fajeya, who had the issue with Verdun in his last fights, also fighting on the card. So that's the 25th. There is a card on the 11th. No, the 10th, the 17th. Is that right? Yeah. Are they Friday or Saturday or Thursdays now?
You have to check. It depends on what
day it was. So
yeah,
I think it's actually next I think it's Friday. No, yeah, but I'll right now. To check. Yeah, why don't you let us know?
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, just because the Clarissa Shields fight that I mentioned is going to be on June 10th, June 17th, and June 25th.
So Thursday, Thursday, Friday
mm-hmm.
is how these are going to unfold. So, yeah, next Thursday, Anthony Pettis gets back in the cage after suffering a loss. So PFL is about ready to get caught up. This will be the last run of the regular season, correct? And then we start getting our seedings.
Yeah, and then we go to the what do they call that? The finals or the I forget what they call that part of the season. I should know. I covered
tournament the tournament semifinals because we're only getting the final four in each, right? Last,
yeah.
Last year we got the eight, so it'll be interesting. It's how it all unfolds here.
Yeah, especially the way it started with all the, I mean, Palmer losing, Pettis losing, and, you know, all the favorites losing. So
yeah, it's looking like it's set up right now for some kind of, you know, somebody to make a name for themselves. Let's see.
Oh, look at
comments here.
How do you guys feel about Clarissa Shields? Do you foresee a successful transition from Paul C.D. Baca? I do. I do see a successful transition. I think historically, when women come from MMA, from boxing into MMA, they do well, especially when they prepare the way that the MMA community just mentioned, how she's training at Jackson Wink MMA. Shout out to the MMAcommunity.com. That's where this podcast was born. But, you look at Anna Houlton, Amanda Serrano, Heather Hardy, I mean, folks that come from boxing at the highest level, transition into MMA, they don't just jump in, you know, blind. They prepare very well, and I've already seen enough footage to know that. I mean, and she's having fun getting ready. I mean, which that's important too.
Yeah, I don't. I have to see. It's going to come down to matchmaking. I mean, if they give her Kyla Harrison, she's going to get drugged to the ground and beat up. But I think she's going to probably put a hurting on some of these other women in PFL. Mm-hmm. But if she's training with Jackson Wink, like the MMA community points out,
I forgot who her opponent was. But her opponent is not a slouch. I'm trying to see if I could see it. It's not on the PFL website. I thought they mentioned who her opponent was, but her opponent is somebody that's a pretty seasoned grappler. So it looks like it's going to be a striker versus grappler type of situation for that. I thought I got a press release for that too, but I can't seem to find it.
Brittany Elkin.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. So
I just found it.
So yeah, you're right. I mean, her record is 3-6 though. So, you know, but you're right. She has a lot of grappling matches.
I think she competes a lot. Yeah. Like she's doing some combat jiu-jitsu and stuff like that.
So, I mean, I suppose it's probably a good matchup then for Shields because it'll put somebody who can actually give her a little bit of a threat in theory if it goes into Elkin's world. So it'll be interesting to see. That's in two weeks. That's on the Rory McDonald card. Or no, I'm sorry. That's next. This upcoming week.
Yeah.
The 10th. Yeah. There's a loaded card right there. So that looks like it's going to be a good one. But
yeah. Yeah.
That's PFL. That's UFC this weekend. Again, we kind of mentioned it. Rozenstruik versus Sakai, heavyweight main event. Rozenstruik 11-2, Sakai 15-2-1. I think this is obviously this fight will not likely hit the ground for even a half a second. it's kind of a toss up. I'm personally just going to go with Sakai. We didn't do any kind of real picks here, but I'm going to go with Sakai. I think he's going to be a little too big. And Rozenstruik, although he's had some fantastic highlight reel finishes, hasn't overly impressed me. I feel like the Overeem fight where he got the KO with like 3 seconds left kind of changed his whole trajectory, and I think it's a little bit misleading. So I'm going to go with Sakai. That's I don't know if you have anything to say on it, but that is this Saturday on ESPN Plus.
No, I'm good.
we know Ed's not big on the ESPN Plus. So
no.
I think that's kind of going to wrap us up. We also, you know, you mentioned Justin Wetzel fights co-main event
Friday. Yeah.
This Friday night, LFA, UFC Fight Pass. twice he's been on our recorded show together. This is the third time you've interviewed him for the podcast. So good friend of the show. We wish him all the best. He fights Askar Askar, who's 11-1. Wetzel comes in at 6-1 on a 5-fight win streak. You got to believe the winner of this fight finds themselves in the UFC in the next in 3 months or so.
Yeah. Well, oddly, I mean, listen to the interview after that. If you listen to the audio portion of this podcast, make sure you check out that interview, because he talks about the near, you know, he's literally, what's the nicest way I can say this? I mean, he was skin of his teeth, could have been on the Ultimate Fighter, and, you know, they just kind of didn't go with him because he wasn't as active as he had wanted to be, you know, with everything going on. So sucks, but I mean, this is definitely going to put him on somebody's radar if he picks up another W on Friday.
Speaking of the Ultimate Fighter, I guess it starts tonight. Not something I've been super interested in, but I guess I'll have to check it out to see what the ESPN Plus version of the Ultimate Fighter looks like, if they've done any tweaks or changes to it. So, again, Justin Wetzel's audio interview to immediately follow this podcast. If you're listening to the audio version, look us up. Fans can follow us at Matthew Hawkins at MMA Hawk 21 on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow the podcast at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Check out Ed at Carbizol on Twitter, Carbirzol on Instagram, Old Head Carb on Twitch. And as always, you can check out our video podcast at allaccessmma.com. Thanks for the MMA community, Paul C. DiBacca and Luke Lopez, for chiming in during the show this week. Everybody have a good rest of the week, and let's hope for some good fights on UFC, whether you watch them or not, Ed, and we got some stuff to talk about.
Yes, sir.
Have a good one, brother.
Peace. Okay. Ed Carbajal here for MyMMAnews.com. Speaking with Justin Wetzel, LFA bantamweight, I hope, right? For your upcoming fight. I know last time we talked, you said that you were kind of being forced to fight a little heavier. I mean, it's almost like a year since we last spoke. So how's it been since the last time I talked to you?
That is crazy. It has been like a year, man. Pretty good, man. I've been staying busy and ready. And yeah, this next fight's going to be at bantamweight.
Cool.
No problems there. My training's pretty much full steam ahead.
Yeah, I mean, your team has kind of been popular. You're still with Elevation, I assume, right?
Yeah, still here in Denver.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, a lot of success coming out of that gym. So, I mean, it's got to rub off. I know the last time we talked, you had talked about how you wanted to be a lot busier, and with everything going on, hard to do. I remember the fight that we interviewed you for, that fight with Thrall, and that got canceled twice. And then I know you had another one after that, and then that got canceled. And then you finally got the one that you won in October. So, I mean, how it's frustrating. Like where are you at mentally with everything?
Definitely frustrating, man. You know, the two cancellations before that with Thrall, one of them being that I got injured, another COVID got shut down. I got an opponent. He got COVID. That fight fell out. Managed to get a replacement 2 weeks later. That fight wasn't fun, going through two weight cuts in 2 weeks. You know, staying busy is what I wanted, and it's not what I got, man. But not a lot of us got what we wanted in 2020, I think. And to add on top of that, I was looking to try to do the Ultimate Fighter, and it looked like that was kind of going to be a thing. However, I fell just short. I got called a few days before the Ultimate Fighter started taping, and they said, sorry, man, you didn't make it. So it was another 6 months down there waiting on that to come through. They didn't fall through. But hey, I'm booked now, and that's all I can really focus on. I can't really, like, you know, not get what I want with fights and whatnot, hold me back or make me feel sorry for myself to the point where it's going to affect my training and my performance.
Yeah, no, martial arts is all about being present and where you're at and what you're doing at that moment. So you can't let too much of the past or worrying about the future mess with you. One other thing, I trained this morning myself. I'm on my ride back. I listened to our last in a conversation. Did you ever find the get in touch with your mom about the videos from Woodlawn Brawls back in the day?
I asked about it, but she actually redid the house, and there's like a bunch of just, I think it might be in this like closet area. Like, she's like, if it's anywhere, it might be, but there's like so much crap that I saw. I guess pretty much same scenario last time I talked to you. It's maybe hidden somewhere, but it hasn't been recovered yet.
So what about the did you guys keep up with the poker club and all that stuff? I know you
said- man, still going strong. Still going strong, definitely.
So only reason I'm asking about all these other things, because I re-listening to it, I was like, man, I forgot how you're talking about, you know, making the best out of bad situations, and we had talked about that last time. So, and just your history with being, you know, the former CEO and president of the Woodlawn Brawls and all that stuff. So with this fight coming up, I mean, since we had the conversation, we talked about the cancellation, stuff like that. As far as I know, and I know when Michael booked this interview for us this time, there's no opponent listed for you, but for they're going to have someone for you to fight in June, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. In fact, you might want to tune in to LFA tonight, and they might be announcing it. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. It is tonight. I was literally looking at the weigh-ins. Yeah. You know, because we're not where we were last year. So it's definitely better for booking fights. Obviously the fight business is booming. But does that like as far as, I mean, if you don't know who it is or you can't say or whatever, but like preparing for a blank space on the fight card, like how do you even get ready for that? Do you just try to keep your cardio and everything, and, you know, like without knowing who to, because I remember when you're preparing for Thrall and all those guys, you had a game plan for their specific from what you knew about them. So how do you get ready for a fight that you don't know who it is yet?
It's definitely a lot harder if you don't have a name, man. And it was kind of like that with the Ultimate Fighter. You know, I was gearing up for that, but it was like I could potentially be fighting like 10 different other dudes. So I don't know what to get ready for. So it's just a matter of staying in shape. But there is a name. I have an opponent. When there's a name to it, it's a little easier to get that intensity and the rounds you want, I guess.
So what's up? I mean, how long has all that been going on? I remember you're growing it out the last time I talked to you.
Oh, man, I don't know. It's kind of started as a joke because after I got my first LFA fight, I was like, all right, I'm not cutting my hair now until I get to the UFC. And, you know, I plan on getting some fights shortly after that fight. And we all know what happened early 2020, and I just kept letting it grow, and that was just fun. Like, I like it. I like having like fun shit like this in my hair and doing whatever, and it's just a cool look. Each day it's the longest it's ever been, so I just kind of mess with it. I'm also kind of lazy with it too, so I don't know.
Well, it helps that you have good hair. I mean, I have really bad hair. I know. So like mine, I'm trying to do something with it, because we were all in the same situation the last time we talked, where the barber shops were closed and all that garbage. And so I'm trying to see if I can get, you know, stuff going, you know, do something with it. But yours seems more manageable than mine. Working out with Team Elevation and everything that's happened with them, as all the notable fighters from that gym, I mean, what has that done for you as far as, like, not just staying motivated with everything that went on, but, you know, I know they brought in Usman kind of midway through the year because of the whole thing that happened with Burns and all that. So have you gotten a chance to train with him? And if so, how'd that go?
I've been in the same room with him, but I've never, like, really worked with him one-on-one, no. He kind of is more with, like, Trevor and those guys. I do see him, though, on some sparring days and whatnot. But being around all those guys, like, you know, the high-level people, Bellator, UFC caliber-level people every day, it just kind of puts you in a sense of belonging, right? Like, I train with these guys, compete with these guys, and kind of like, you know, when you first move out here, you see these people and you kind of put them on a pedestal, like, oh, my God, it's this person, it's that person. But they're really just like me. They're just like you. There's people that really want something, and they're dedicating themselves to do it, and they're just putting in the hard work to get there. And it kind of shows me that I can obtain. I know I can obtain that too if I do what these guys are doing.
Absolutely,
it's nice just to be around these guys, man.
I mean, I would imagine so. I mean, and as far as staying focused, I mean, you know, there's a lot of tests that come at us in life. And with like you said, with the candle, the fact that you still had those three get dropped out and then you still came and fought and got the decision on that last fight in October. I mean, that's just a testament to what that, you know, there's what's that saying about being around the, you're always the you're a duplicate of the five people you hang around with most or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what the exact
thing is. I like the sound of that because I hang out with some fucking killers, man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And from what I've watched, I mean, I was watching just some of your fight before I moved into this room to get set up here. I mean, from what I'm seeing from you, man, it looks like there's definitely something rubbing off in that gym with everybody, like some sort of drive to succeed. I mean, we're seeing it, you know, we see it in the UFC and definitely in your performances. What have you been doing outside of, you had the one fight and then with everything you just talked about with the Ultimate Fighter. So, what did you just knock back a few and play some poker when you knew, found out that wasn't happening and just moved on to the next thing or?
You know, I ate some food, you know, cried a little bit, got a little fat for like 2 days. And then I started getting beat up on practice cause I was fat and like already feeling it. So it's kind of like, that's what I'm saying. You can't feel sorry for yourself too long because then you're just digging yourself into a hole. And it's just, you know, take maybe a few days just to kind of mentally like process all that. But then it's like, well, are we going to stop now? Or we just got to fight our way in. So let's just stay ready, look for a fight here. And then, you know, I really put some intentions into getting to a fight on June 4th and it came about. It's crazy how it works like that, man.
Yeah, and especially being, I mean, the LFA's on Fight Pass, so that I mean, it seems like anyone that's already kind of in the net of the UFC is definitely, you know, a phone call away from. I mean, how many short notices? That's one thing I've noticed over since we last talked. How many short notice guys that were even on the Contender Series and lost still got called in? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you definitely. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're right, man. The 6-8 week fight camp thing now for regional fighters is almost a thing of the past. Seems like nowadays it's 3-4 weeks is considered a long time for getting notice for fights. Like my last fight for LFA, it was probably like 2.5-3 weeks notice. My opponent was like a week and a half, maybe. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is now.
When you what's your take on short notice? You prefer it, or I mean, obviously you'd prefer the preparation, but I mean, as far as like when you have to do something like that and the forced weight cut, and obviously there's got to be a pain in the ass. But like, as far as from you, like your case, you have this fight booked, they haven't announced the name yet, getting ready for it. Like, are you kind of like, if the guy's short notice, does it give you more confidence, or are you more worried about them coming at you with everything?
I mean, I think there could be pros and cons. So I normally hate short notice stuff, but like I was just saying, like 3-4 weeks is like a long time now notice for a regional level fighter. Also though, what I'm noticing with, like, for instance, my last fight, I would consider that short notice. That was, you know, 2.5 weeks notice, 3 weeks. There's a lot less stressors, right? You know, a 6-8 week camp, there's a lot of waves mentally, right? Like, you're having a great session, a great 2 weeks, and then you have a horrible week. And then, like, you know, just a mental, a 2 or 3 week notice, it gets rid of all of that. You know, it's time. And if you're staying consistent, you know, if you're not in an off season and you're training year round and consistent, it's not going to take that much time to like ramp up and get into fight shape if you already have like a base.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what seems to be. I remember, when I was younger and I'd watch like guys like Wanderlei Silva, I remember he would just say, I won't watch tape on anyone. I prepare the same for everyone. So that seems to be kind of like a great base of, or mentality moving forward, especially with a career in combat sports. I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely looking forward to your comeback to fighting. I hope, it's probably hasn't been on the top of your priority list, but The Woodlawn Brawler t-shirts, that have they been made or no?
Yes, they have, dude. But thank you for thanks for reminding me, though. That's something that has to be done. I'm really glad you brought that up, man.
Did you even add that as your nickname? I remember we were talking about maybe I should call myself the Woodlawn Brawler.
I didn't. I still don't have a nickname yet. So, but it's probably something that has to be done. You know, like marketing and all that crap. So
yeah. Change your Twitter handle, Instagram, all that stuff. Brawler. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was a great story. I mean, like I said, I listened to it last time, and you definitely got something inside of you that seems to, I mean, like, you talked about creating your poker night, and then how the way you guys put all that stuff together way back then, it just seems like you're a survivor, man. I mean, you definitely got the mind for success. So I said it to you last time, and I'm going to say it again, man. It's coming for you, dude. I see it. I see it from your fights and just talking to you and stuff like that. I mean, your time is coming.
Thank you, man. I feel it too. And I honestly think about it every single day, man. I want it so bad. It's been a long journey too, but I'm not impatient, and it's just something I want. I can feel it, man.
Yeah. I mean, hey, like, martial arts is also about consistency, right? So just keep on trucking and you'll get to where you're going. Well, thanks so much for the time, Justin. I appreciate it again. I know we're doing this on a Friday night. And you were just getting in, so I'll let you have your night or poker, whatever it is you're going to get to. And good luck to you, man. I appreciate the time. If you want to plug anything, by all means, go right ahead.
Yeah, guys, just check me out. My social media handles, Jay Wetzel MMA, Elevation Fight Team, best team in the country. Let's go. Thanks, man.
No problem. Take care. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, man.
Hey, guys. Ed here, East Coast side of the Coast to Coast Combat Hour podcast. If you like what we're doing, make sure you subscribe on YouTube and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, if you'd like to help us out and donate, the support links are in any of the podcast descriptions, and then some of the links are also provided on our YouTube channel, The Blog Board Jungle. Thanks again for listening, and if you give us some support, we'll give you a shout on the podcast, maybe bring you on for a UFC pay-per-view breakdown or two. Thanks again.